Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, good Thursday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Hurt in tow. Kevin getting ready for Carburation Day. How excited are you?
Hey, Carburation Day is not for another week yet. I'm getting ready for poll day.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. All right.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm ready. I've got the DVR rolling. I've got the app on my phone, so I'm not going to miss it if I'm not away from the TV. I mean, I am ready. I love technology. This is when technology is just sweet.
Is poll day Friday or Saturday?
Poll day Saturday.
So you have 48 hours before this stuff even happens. Okay?
All right. I've got time, but I've got everything ready.
I'm here in the Sunbury Motors studio, door firmly locked because obviously I'm dealing with a madman. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Hillshire's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hillshire's General Store, located 7 miles south of Salem's Grove, Routes 11 to 15. Go to www.hillshirestore.com. I'd like to open up the phone lines, get your thoughts on this. But it was a fiery teleconference yesterday from Bill O'Brien. I mean, that's how I would describe it along the way. And I say that because, I mean, you could hear at some point, like, he was just flat on angry with this whole thing. And, you know, as I have tried to point out, I think I pointed out yesterday, Kevin, in no uncertain terms, my great personal and admiration for Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli, and at the same time, the wonderful things that he's done for my family. You know, as a physician, I mean, when you make a decision as to who you want to do important work on your child, you know, the highest compliment you can give is to look at somebody and say, yes, you're the one. And I've talked about that with Wayne. At the same time, you know, there are also many, many great physicians in the world. And they decided, you know, Bill O'Brien has surrounded himself with the team that he wants to have around in 16 months. And he's looked at every phase of the operation. Tim Bream has an 18-year reputation for excellence with the Chicago Bears. That continued last season. Pete Seidenberg's there at every single practice. I see Pete all the time. Scott Lynch is there. They never had fewer than two doctors in any practice, and many times had three. And to suggest in any way, shape, or form, and this is where I think, you know, Bill O'Brien has justifiable anger, to suggest in any way that he would ever give players that he loves anything substandard when it comes to medical care. Just like you wouldn't give them anything less than substandard in terms of coaching work, film work, academic support, any of that stuff. The players come first. The players have always come first here. The players will always come first here. And that means medical care. Have I seen anybody, quote, rushed back into action? No. And to even suggest that. And I don't think it was suggested in the article at all, but people have talked about that NFL rushing back. You know, really, NFL, NBA, really, how much has Derrick Rose rushed back? The player in the end determines whether or not they go. Sometimes a trainer and a doctor have to hold that player back because they know it's best for them to wait. Other times, there are others that, you know, that get cleared and don't go right away. And I've seen that happen, too. We have a lot to talk about today, but first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick. Today on the show, our race car drivers, athletes. Just kidding. They are.
I don't know. That story probably got trumped by yesterday afternoon, so.
Oh, I think in the end, it was a very entertaining show.
It was.
Don't you think? In the end?
No question about it.
I think in the end it was very entertaining.
However, Steve, just remember, the limit on questions when somebody asks you how many more questions is not six.
Six? No, we got three.
There it is. Six? Oh, we got three. And I love the moderator right after that. Okay, three.
Yeah, but that's Steph Petula, who is about as nice and also as poised an individual as you're going to meet. She does a great job. And that's why you notice she didn't get rattled.
No.
For one, no, she did not. Because that is not Steph. Steph is not. She is one of those calm, cool, collected types, as opposed to others who live by panic.
Well, and also, Coach O'Brien was not planning on this earlier in the day. So he had other stuff going on as well. After this news conference, which he talked about yesterday, but I just that was one of the lines I had to make. It did make me chuckle.
Okay, Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle is going to join us at 3:35. Perspective on all of this, and just you know, he had a tough question yesterday. We'll talk about that as well. Jump into that, but the Big Ten schedule is out for 14.
It's now posted at stevejonesshow.com, as a matter of fact.
Well, let's get to it, because look, I mean, I don't know how much more I can say about this. Every coach is entitled to organize their staff any way they wish. If they wish to have seven offensive coaches and two defensive coaches, they can do that. It's not smart, but if they wanted to, they can. So what is Bill done in reorganization this year? Okay. The most publicized one is now how the medical staff is handled, which is the same model they use at LSU and Ohio State and Northwestern and so forth. There's a general practitioner there every day, 7 days a week. The orthopedic surgeon is there on Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay? And also would be there on Friday as well for a road trip because the orthopedic surgeon is traveling. So on road games, the orthopedic surgeon is there 4 days a week. On home games, the orthopedic surgeon is there 3 days a week. Okay? Meanwhile, two other doctors, including the GP, are covering practice. That's how it works. Also, there was an allegation about Tim Bream that was made. That was looked into and investigated, and a full report was given to the Board of Trustees in January. They said it was a miscommunication and a non-issue. So take that off the table, too. Tim does not need his reputation soiled over something that's been investigated, looked into, and it was a miscommunication, labeled as such, approved as such. Okay? But there are other things. There are other things, though, when you look at he's changed how they're going to do special teams this year. Charles London and Ron Vanderlinden really have the bulk of the special teams work after having each unit spread out last year. He changed how they do special teams. He's going to change the charter company they're using. Right? He wanted a plane that had more leg room for the players because the players come first. And so they're going to change that. They're changing which hotel they're going to be in the night before home games. Okay? So, I mean, there are a lot of things that go along that, you know, in an organization now, after going through it for 16 months, this is how he'd like to have it. Everybody acts like, oh, that's the one thing. Look, nobody thinks higher of Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli than I do as a person, as a friend, and as my surgeon, okay, than me. All right, but let's not put down the people that are currently there either. They didn't transition from him to Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Here's the big issue with the Sports Illustrated story from the way I see it, Steve.
It's a non-story. 5 years ago, that story does not even get written. It's not even a story 5 years ago.
But it's the headline.
It doesn't happen.
It's the headline. It doesn't fit the story. That's the point I want to make.
Of course it
doesn't. Do athletics still have too much power? It's Penn State. That has nothing to do with what the story's about.
Of course not.
That's the ridiculous part of this.
And the story is more about a soap opera,
yes,
than it is about medical care. Okay, that's what it comes down to. You know, I'm a football announcer. I announce football games.
The problem is this is where reporting is going today, and that's the scary part of it.
Well,
it's not doing a story that's there. It's digging for one and finding a story that may not be there anyway.
What does Sports Illustrated have in common with Sporting News, Time, and Newsweek?
They're all magazines that are having trouble trying to keep subscribers.
They're dying. Sporting News is gone completely, and I was a subscriber from the Sporting News since 1977. I enjoyed that magazine a lot, from newspaper to magazine. Now you can get Sporting News online. Time and Newsweek are dead. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. By the time they come out, it's always old news. Same thing with Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated was great in terms of they come out every week, vibrant, deep color pictures to go with stories and so forth. But now we're in an internet world. It's old news and everything, you know, and we all have HD TV. It's not, I mean, my subscription, I renewed it 2 years ago. It's got 1 year to go. It's going to lapse. I'm not going to waste my money on that. I mean, nobody's getting weekly magazines anymore. Now they're getting specialty magazines. You know, for example, I mean, you know, there are people that like Home and Garden magazines and things like that that are, you know, specialty magazines, Yankee magazine, things like that. Those magazines are doing fine. Fashion magazines like W, People magazines, pretty good when it comes to, you know, whatever. But weekly news magazines and weekly sports magazines, where you actually see everything play out on your HD screen, they're old news. That's why those are the ones that have died, not the other ones, because they're specialty niche magazines that are deal with things that aren't on the news and sports all the time.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. It is a slow, boring time of the year. That's why we need to fill some extra time with Rich Scarcello, the Reading Eagle.
I wouldn't call it that. I wouldn't call it that, Steve. I know you were being sarcastic. It's been a little hectic here for the last 36 hours or so.
Have you read the article?
I have. I did it yesterday. Yes.
Your thoughts?
Oh, boy. I don't know where to begin. Unlike others, I'm not sure if 5 years ago this story was written that it would be profiled in a national magazine. But because of what's happened at Penn State in the last year and a half, I think that's the only way that it makes it a national story. I think a lot of it has to do with the... I might not completely agree with Bill O'Brien, who said it was a character assassination of Dave Joyner. I don't know if I would go that far, but I will say this, that it details a lot of in-house fighting between Dave Joyner and Wayne Sebastianelli. I think some of the stuff that came out about Tim Bream, I don't know whether it's true or not, but that's slightly, that'll raise a few eyebrows for sure. I have some thoughts about the people who spoke to Sports Illustrated. I'm not sure what the end game was for them, what they hoped to accomplish, other than perhaps embarrassing Dave Joyner, which they accomplished. But other than that, I don't have a lot of thoughts. I think it hurts. I think I would agree with guys like Dave Jones and Neil Riddell that I think this can only hurt Penn State football, and that's sad.
Agreed that 5 years ago, the story doesn't even get written, I don't think.
Probably not.
Yeah, it probably doesn't even get written, let alone make it to a national magazine. Yet it comes out at this time. Now let's. I want to transition to Bill O'Brien's response. Number one, the fact that he responded right away, Rich, and then the tone of the response.
Well, as I've said several times in the last 24 hours, I would love to know the over-under on Bill's blood pressure from 431 till 456 or whatever it was yesterday afternoon. I give him a lot of credit. I give Penn State a lot of credit for trying to get out in front of the story. I understand perfectly why he was so upset. He wasn't upset with the people on the call. He was upset with the publication of the story. I can understand that because it hurts his program, even indirectly. In the 16 months, whatever it is, 17 months, he's been at Penn State. I think with him that he's been pretty upfront with us who cover the team on a regular basis. So other than that, I don't have many other thoughts, but I do understand why he was so agitated. I get that very well.
Right. The next part, you always get the first question, whether it is the weekly teleconference or in a situation such as that. Mm-hmm. How much thought do you put into it because you know you're setting the tone?
Well, whether it is Bill O'Brien or was Joe Paterno, and I'm speaking just strictly for the weekly press conference, I put a lot of thought into it and how it's worded. And it's as one of my late friend Jerry Keller said, you're the leadoff hitter. You got to get on base.
Right.
And really you do. I had several questions for him, but I thought I would give Bill an opportunity to say how the level of medical care is at Penn State compared to the other places that he has coached.
Right.
I thought that was the most appropriate question to lead it off.
Right, and I agree. I thought it was. And it gave him an opportunity to then express personal experience and background as to what he's witnessed to now, what he has as the model within his own program that he is running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, Bill, there were a couple answers that struck out to me that stood out to me. That was one of them. The other thing was that he called the article a character assassination on Dave Joyner. Another one was at near the end when Jeff Rice asked him a question about which was raised in the article about the fact that or not the fact the assertion that. The physicians have been instructed not to talk to parents of football players. And Jeff Rice asked him about that. And Bill said that's, as he said to a lot of things, that's ridiculous. You know, there are parents of players in the training room all the time. We talk to them all the time. And from what I can gather, right from the day he took over through the free report, the NCAA sanctions last season and now, I think my understanding is that he, Bill O'Brien, has been very open with the parents of the players.
Yeah, and I've witnessed parents in the training room. So, you know, and so that's, I mean, when he gave that answer, that matched up with everything I've seen over time as well. And I believe the Tim Breen part was looked into in a report in January, I believe, was presented to the Board of Trustees. So
yeah, that was the statement that Penn State released Tuesday night. And I used that in my story, as I'm sure everybody else did too. You know, they said that it was looked into and found no cause. So, you know, there are things that happen, that we just don't know about. I can't say that, I'm just going to have to take their word for it for now. But to me, the biggest The biggest story is that there are some people in in the camp of Wayne Sebastianelli who I've always liked, admired, respected, who were trying to defend him in this case. And I think it was a little misguided because I think it ended up doing more harm than good.
This is also a period of time, too, where they're coming off the coach's caravan. You saw it, witnessed it. I know I was part of the Scranton stop. This is 180 from that in terms of the tone. The coach's caravan, what have you seen are the pluses out of that? As basically, I've likened it to a politician out there firing up the base.
I think last year I went to two stops. I went to Philadelphia and Hazleton, my hometown. And this year I just went to Reading because it was the first stop and it's obviously closest to my home. And I think that I think it's a good thing. I don't know what the plans are for next year. Maybe nobody does. But I think it's a good thing to reach out to the community, Penn State community. I think here in Reading and Berks County, it was the first stop to sell out and sold out in, I think, less than 48 hours. You know, officials here told me that they sold 250 tickets. They probably could have sold another 100 or more. And I think the people there, I don't think they knew what to expect, at least in Reading. And I thought they were very impressed with the fact that Bill and Pat Chambers, who are the only two coaches on the stop here, went around the room to every table to greet people, were available for photos, were available for autographs. That can only help. I think I understand why Penn State is doing it from a business standpoint. They're trying to sell more football tickets, to gain more memberships in the Nittany Lion Club. And I can't speak for that if it's been effective in that regard. But I do know reaching out and pressing flesh and contacting the community, I think people have been very impressed with that.
The 2014 Big Ten schedule came out today, and it'll be 8 games as it will be in 15. And these will be the opponents in 14 and 15. They'll just flip the locations in 15 for these. At Rutgers, then Northwestern at home, at Michigan, Ohio State at Beaver Stadium, Maryland at Beaver Stadium, in Bloomington against Indiana, at Illinois, Michigan State last game of the year. Obviously, 6 of the 8, everybody knew what they were going to be. The only mystery was who was going to be at the end and who the two games on the other division were going to be. Turned out to be Northwestern and Illinois. Just your thoughts just going forward that Michigan State, number one, ends up being the last game and the schedule itself.
Well, I was wrong because when I thought it was going to be Maryland or Rutgers as the last game.
So did I.
But I did. And I think a lot of people, you probably know this better than I do. You know, I think a lot of people at Penn State did too. But I do understand the logic behind this. If you pair Penn State with, let's just say, Maryland for the last game, well, that leaves Rutgers to play Michigan State. This makes more sense. Rutgers and Maryland play each other. They're the two newest members. Penn State and Michigan State renew their rivalry, and there's at least something there.
I think that was done mostly for Michigan State. I think I think it was mostly done for them because I think they looked around at Michigan State and said, what do we do with them?
Yeah, what do you do with Michigan State? And Penn State, you know, of what's left, you're not, you know, Michigan and Ohio State, that's a lock.
Right.
So who are you gonna pair? And, you know, obviously Indiana's gonna be playing Purdue. I've got to mention the seventh team. So it does make sense in that regard. I understand it. Selfishly, I'm not looking forward to the trips to Michigan State every other year on Thanksgiving weekend because that's always a hassle, but
right.
And I sound like I'm whining, but I was hoping I could drive to Rutgers or Maryland every other year. But
I hear you. Sure. I mean, I think
the fans think that too. Playing Michigan State as the end of the season game, that's okay.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's better than Indiana. No offense to Indiana. I mean, I think you know, you're. But now let's look at Wisconsin. You just tweeted this out beforehand.
Yeah.
Wisconsin has a very interesting schedule in who they don't play.
Yes. They don't play Ohio State, Michigan, with Penn State or Michigan State, right?
Yeah, they don't play any one of the four on that side.
Yeah. Which is the first time that's happened since Penn State joined the Big Ten in 93.
Yeah.
And that's courtesy of Jeff Patrick. I think his last name is Patricus. I can't pronounce it right, from the Milwaukee Journal.
Right.
And that's fascinating to me. You know, that's really fascinating. And I didn't. What are their crossover games, Steve? What are their two crossover games?
Well, they're Maryland Rutgers.
Yeah. See, that,
right? See, what they did was they took the traditional games at the end of the season, and then they rotated those as to who the two crossover games were.
Okay.
That's what they did with everybody. That's why Penn State, as you noticed, Northwestern Illinois.
Yeah, okay.
They have Rutgers and Maryland.
Okay.
Purdue, I'll bet they even see. Purdue has, who do they have? They have Michigan State. No, maybe they don't. Okay, Michigan State's there. Who's the other crossover game? Well, that's because it's Indiana.
Right.
That's why.
Yeah, because it's Indiana.
So it has to be. It had to be Indiana. But that's what they did almost across the board with everybody as to how they did this. Michigan and Ohio State, that's Minnesota's.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what they did was they took the traditional game on the last weekend of the season and they made that happen to be the crossover game for everybody.
Yeah.
That's how they did it.
Yeah. The other one that's very fascinating, check Rutgers' first five conference games.
They've been handed Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. That's the first three. Then it's Nebraska and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Welcome to the league.
The Big Ten.
You know, Herman just took that job as AD. She just saw that schedule. She's flying back to Louisville.
Yeah.
There you go,
yeah,
Julie.
Really. I mean, that is
schedule.
That's staggering. I mean, that is. I hope there's some buys in there. I hope there's at least one buy in there.
Yeah, there's one. Penn State's the only one that has three buys, and that's because of the Rutgers game at the front, and I think obviously built in so they can do something at the beginning in 14.
Right. Now, you know, we're all thinking possibly Ireland in 2014 or 15.
Right.
So I'm guessing that the three buys listed are going to allow that Penn State flexibility.
Exactly, because everybody else has two. Penn State has three, you know, especially with Rutgers being at the front like that.
Yeah.
So that, because the Rutgers game was already scheduled there, they're just keeping it there. That's the third bye, and that gives them the flexibility to do something in 14.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's okay. It really is a favorable schedule for Penn State in that the home schedule, not bad. And then the road games are, you know, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and I'm missing, and Rutgers.
Right.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, right now we're sitting here a little more than a year out. It doesn't look that daunting, the road schedule.
Yeah, you know, you flip it to 15, it changes.
Yeah, it changes in a big way.
In 15, you're playing at Ohio State, you're playing at Northwestern, at Maryland, and at Michigan State.
Yeah. So, big difference. So, no, I'm glad they came out with it. I'm you know, eagerly await what happens with the game, possible game in Ireland, to see if that transpires. That would be something. That would be very, very interesting. You know, all things considered, it's good. I again, like I said to you earlier, I think Penn State, Michigan State, end the season, the more I think about it, the more it makes a lot more sense.
Right, and I've understood that part the entire time, Rich. My feeling was that's being done more for Michigan State because there really is not a matchup for Michigan State. And it really comes into play when you think about the last couple of years where everybody had a crossover game, and Penn State's crossover game was Nebraska. Michigan State's crossover game was Indiana. And that Michigan State has been in that area of flux since they entered the conference in 1953, and I think the Penn State solution has been the only solution that I think that's worked for them and made the conference feel good about it.
Yeah, and it's a good matchup. And, you know, when, you know, they played from 93 through 2010, you know, nine times, I mean, how many times wasn't it you know, an ESPN game or an ABC game. I mean, you know, either at, you know, usually at 3:30 after the Ohio State-Michigan game. So
right.
I think it's a prime game that weekend, you know, one of the better conference games of the whole weekend.
And Mark D'Antoni's done a great job with that program, yes. And they've been in the Big Ten championship game and so forth, yeah. So it's a good matchup at the end.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm looking forward to see the redesign of the Land Grant Trophy. That's a lot of us on the beat are anxiously awaiting that.
Yes. Something that one person can lift. Let's start with that prerequisite to trophy success. Rich, it's always an absolute pleasure. Thanks for doing this on short notice. I greatly appreciate it.
Steve, you got it anytime. Thanks a lot.
Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. A wide variety of topics to knock around on this Thursday afternoon with one of the best who defines perspective and being level-headed. We'll give you the opposite end of the spectrum with Kevin in a moment.
I can't deny that. I mean, I can't deny that at all.
You're the voice of the fan.
I can't deny what you're saying. I do have one quick question. Why are Nebraska and Iowa playing on the day after Thanksgiving instead of that Saturday?
That's how they've done it the last 2 years.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
They want the Iowa and Nebraska both said yes to doing that because Nebraska actually has had that time slot for a long time going back to the Big 12 days.
I didn't realize that.
And they wanted to keep that because they like the singular nature of it day after. You know, people have the day after Thanksgiving off. I mean, not this show, but, you know, most people have
That's
the day after
think.
Thanksgiving off. What? Oh, I forgot. Yeah,
That's what
off.
You think.
Yeah, I forgot you're off. Yeah. But that Black Friday... That you know, that's why people do it. It's a holiday weekend.
That's true.
And that also is part of the TV deal. And they want to, you know, they have that time slot open as part of the TV deal, and that's they wanted to fill it. So that's why they're there. We will come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf is going to make it impossible for you to say no to these huge discounts. Show off your individuality with a 2013 Kia Soul starting at $15,929. Sunbury Motors Kia ordered extra 39 MPG 2012 Kia Optima Hybrids, which are discounted $5,047. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Built in the USA, 2014 Kia Serenos start at just $22,993. And Sunbury Motors Kia has 18 in stock now. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, the discounts are so huge, it's going to be impossible to say no. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome. A lot to talk about. I'm going to throw this out there to the populace. Michigan State will again be, now this is, it may not be on a permanent basis, but at least for the next couple of years, because we haven't seen the 16 schedule yet, but at least for the next couple of years, we know that in 14 and in 15, Michigan State returns as the final game of the season for Penn State, which had been the situation for 18 consecutive years. We know that you cannot schedule Pitt at the end. Should Penn State play Pitt every single year at the front of the schedule? Not the maybe the opening week. Okay, should they play Pitt sometimes, all the time, or the heck with them? 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Should they play Pitt every year, sometimes, or never?
That's a good question. I may have to take the news to think about that. For my
own
answer.
What you do, you have
Only three openings beginning in 16. Which I think complicates the question. I think if you have four openings, the question becomes less complicated.
Sure.
But I think the question becomes complicated when you only have three openings. Maybe you want to play USC, Alabama, Florida.
Strength of schedule is going to be very important.
So next hour, that is the question we shall ponder.